You can take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter. We're going to share a little bit on how to be spiritually minded. Everybody wants to be spiritually minded, right? And listening to God and asking Him stuff and getting answers. That's always fun. Verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of what?
Remembrance.
So one key to being spiritually minded is to remember His word. And then it's always a great thing to remember, to put His word in our remembrance constantly, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Where was that? Where were the holy prophets? The Old Testament, right? Those great, wonderful prophets, they stood for God, and God told them really wonderful things. And of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. So, first of all, that word remembrance means a reminding, a recollecting. And it's always a good thing to keep recollecting God's word in our minds. And then in that other verse there, it said, may be mindful. And that is like a fixture in your mind, a mental grasp. So, you know, basically it's really important for us to really grasp God's word in our minds, so other things don't get grasped. That's a word. We want God's word to be the one that grasps us, not the thoughts of the world. And in verse 3, it says, come in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lusts. And those are the false teachers, the liars. And there's plenty of those going around to accommodate people. But if we keep putting God's word in our minds, then those things will be put aside. In verse 4, it says, and saying, and this is what they do, they try to get you to doubt, where is the promise of his coming? So they try to get you to doubt that, you know, where the Lord is coming back for us. And we never want to doubt that, because he's coming back, whether we believe it or not. So we might as well believe it. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So it's going to happen. And we want to set our minds, we want to grasp our minds to what God's telling us, and not the false scoffers. In verse 17 of the same chapter, so ye therefore, beloved, that's us, and Peter, and Peter and company, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But now in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. So we want to stay away from, we want to remember the things that we read in God's word. And, you know, God has done for us. God has done plenty for us here in this room. We've all come out of a lot of things that God did for us. So those are the things we want to remember. That word watch means to beware, be on guard. And then the word beware means to be on guard. So there you go. So that's what we want to do. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And verses 1 through 3, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may, what?
Grow.
So if you want to grow with God, you got to put away the malice. And that lay aside means to cast it off. In the working translation, it means stripping it off. You want to strip off all these not so good things here, actually evil things. the malice, the guile, the hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. And then it says to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And we have all tasted that the Lord is gracious. We've all had his good in our lives. And it's not even, you can't even compare it to any of the bad things we've been through, because his touch is so incredible. So we want to desire, we want to yearn for that. And we want to keep those things of God first and foremost in our minds so that we can grow spiritually. And then we all know this verse, but let's turn there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 45. No. Who can guess where we're going?
15,
right. Study. Who knows what the Greek word for study? Right, it means potato, right?
Yes.
Spudazo. No, it's spudazo, right. And that means to put forth a diligent effort speedily. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when we go to this word speedily and with great respect, you know, we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be disappointed. It's a wonderful thing. We can slip on over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to start verse 15. It says, meditate upon these things. Sort of go to them every once in a while, that thy profit may appear to all. No, right? It says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. That word meditate is very wonderful because it means to revolve in your mind. You know, a revolving door, it goes kind of goes around and around. So that's what we can do with God's word, is let it revolve in our minds and go round and round and heal the things we need healed and get help from the things we need help with. So we meditate, and then it says, give thyself wholly. Be absorbed in it. Be absorbed in God's word rather than the things of the world. And then, and that's where I'm at. To them that thy profit, thy progress, your progression may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And that word save is to deliver, to heal, to preserve. So it's not only going to do us, when we do it, a wonderful benefit, but it's going to do the people around us, because we're going to be loving and kind to people, and we're going to be helping them. Back to 2 Peter, please. Chapter 1. Second Peter, chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 3. Well, we can start in verse 2. How's that sound? Grace and peace. How many want grace and peace in your life?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Be not just given to you, but multiplied unto you through the knowledge. There it is again. How do we get grace and peace? We've got to first know about it, and we got to know it's available, right? So through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power, not our divine power, remember that? According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through what? The knowledge of Saturday Evening Post, Life Magazine, Boys Life. No.
YouTube,
right? Oh, no.
TikTok.
You can't get your TikTok anymore, no people.
Nope.
Thank God. I mean, that's horrible. Anyway, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Then we're going to keep reading. Whereby, not only we get glory and virtue, but whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, that's spiritual, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we keep going to his word, and we can escape the corruption. We can escape the negative crap in the world. Verse 5, and beside this, not only that, I mean, that's enough right there. Mm-hmm. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So God is telling us here, he wants us to keep gaining knowledge of his word. Because in his word, it says it has all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So we really don't need anything else. I mean, other stuff is, you know, it's good to know about, you know, chicken lays an egg and all that. But the main thing, the most important things for us as believers, we want to keep going to his word and learning about that. So, and besides this, giving all diligence, unto faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, with temperance, which is self-control. How many can use that? I can. That'd be nice. And to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity, which is the love of God. So we get all these things as we gain knowledge and we get to apply it in our lives, and God just multiplies his goodness to us. You can go to, oh, and that same, that word diligence is another form of spudo. It's not spudazo, but spude, kind of like the same thing. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of whose glory? His glory. Got to remember that. Not our glory. It's not our, by our power. It's by his power. But riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And I think that's wonderful, because without it, you can't understand God's love. And he gave us that spirit so that we can understand this love that has no, there's no, nothing compared to it. We have it because we have the spirit, because we believe Romans 10:9-10. And to know the love of Christ with passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of him, everything he has for us. So, again, in the working translation, it said, to know and evidence in our lives the fullness of what we have in Christ Jesus. And that's what we want to keep getting to know. We want to keep knowing what this fullness is and all that entails. You can go to Colossians. Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 9-11, it says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So prayer is a big thing too. We can do that for each other. We do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the what?
Knowledge.
There it is again. Knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Meaning that we put it together. It puts together in our mind what God is telling us. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in, there it is again, the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, and long suffering and with joyfulness. So that spiritual understanding, I looked that up, and it means, you know, putting together, but it also means non-carnal. We're not to be, it's non-carnal. It's not things of the world, but it's spiritual. It's from God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, here's another great key if you want to be spiritually minded. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So we are to let this word dwell richly in us. And the way we do that is we keep going to it. Keep going to it, and make it an abundant in our lives, because God wants us to have that. And this is very wonderful here in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. And in verse 19, this is where Christ was teaching the apostles a few things, as he often did. I thought about, if you ever think about, oh, I don't know what to say in situation, I don't know what to do. Well, look at this. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. So God, he can tell us what to do at any second of any day. We just got to be looking for it. We just got to, again, keep that revolving word in our minds. And then lastly, here in 2 Samuel chapter 23, another beautiful verse. 2 Samuel 23. And in verse 1, right here. I hear the ruffling.
What chapter?
2 Samuel 23, 25. Not really. There you go. It says, verse 1, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. And that's the same for us, even more so, because we have God's Spirit in us all, every second of every day. And we just got to keep revolving his word in our minds and rely on him, and we'll be spiritually minded. And that's what we want to keep doing. Okay?